Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Now, my wife is the exact opposite. That's why our bedroom usually stays freezing cold, because she wins that argument, okay? Those of you that are young and getting ready to date, some of you young guys that are in here, some of the ladies, just remember, the wife wins when it comes to the temperature. And they're back there, yeah, you'll learn. You'll learn. All right, but listen, just because it gets cold does not mean that we need to stay home, amen? I know there are physical ailments and physical things that go on, but there is something about gathering together in the presence of God. And trust me, we got heat. We can turn it on. We'll make it comfortable in here for you. We'll try to make sure. But I encourage you over the winter months, if you do need something, if you are struggling with anything, let us know, and we want to help you out, okay? If you understand me, say, I do. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5 says this. If you're there, say, I am. Okay, if you're not, say, hold up. Okay, everybody seems to be there. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. Right now, I'm already not happy. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope in salvation. And this hope, everybody say hope, will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Let's pray. God, today, as we look at this verse, I pray that You would reveal it anew to us, that You would open up our minds, open up our hearts, and help us, Lord, to see what You want us to see. Let my words be few, Your words be powerful. And Lord, plant a seed inside of us today that will grow and bear fruit. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. As I was reading and studying God's word this week, it's always beneficial for us, right, to read and study God's word. It's always beneficial for us to open it up and take a look. Inside of those pages, there's not a day that goes by that I don't open my Bible and I start looking at what God's word says, because I know that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. His words are what brings me life in my life. His word is what gives me direction. The Bible is what gives me the instructions to carry out so that I can live a fruitful and a successful life. But as I open that verse, we can go through here today, and if I said, what is your favorite verse? There would be tons of verses that we could probably pull out. Now, of course, there's the most popular verse, John 3:16, that a lot of people would say, and a lot of people that don't go to church or are not heavily involved in church, they say, well, that's mine, because that's the only one they remember. But I still love that verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, everybody could probably quote it, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a popular verse, and it's a great verse. Philippians 4:13 is also another verse that is very popular among Christians. And right now you're probably saying it in your head, for I can do everything or all things through Christ who gives me strength. I stand on that verse. There's no way I'd be able to do what I'm doing without God's presence. Amen? There's no way we'd be able to survive in today's world without that. Jeremiah 29:11 is one of my wife's favorite verses. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now, you want to know one of my favorite verses? I may have already told you. Proverbs 12:1. Anyone know that one by memory? No? I love that verse. The reason why is because the way that it words this. In the New King James Version, it says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. That describes me to a T, y'all. There was a time where you could not tell me anything to do. And I promise you, I've changed since last week, okay? But that is my favorite, one of my absolute favorite verses. Now, this verse that we just read in Romans chapter 5, that is not one of my favorite verses. Let me read that first verse again, that verse 3. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us develop endurance. I don't like that verse. I really don't. It's because of one small word. There's one small word in that entire verse that I do not like. It's a four-letter word to me. And it's a four-letter word to you, really. But it's when. If you would, put that verse back up there, JC. When you go through trials. When, verse 3, JC, when you go through trials. They'll get it up there in a minute. But it says, when we run into problems and trials. The problem with that verse with me is if this is that it says when. It does not say you might. It doesn't say if. It doesn't say, well, every now and then. It says when you have problems. How many of you got problems? How many of you have situations that you don't want to go through in your life? Listen, I'm right there with you. This teaching is not one that's easy for most people to swallow. The problem comes down to that word when. If this was the only case where we hear that word when you have problems, when you have struggles, when you have trials, I could chalk it up to Paul just saying the wrong word. Well, really, he just meant if you run into some difficulty, then you can rejoice. If you stub your toe, it's okay because God's got you. If you do this, but the thing is, it's not happening just this one time in the Bible. He reminds us that we're all the time, you're going to go through some struggles. You're going to go through problems. And everybody's like, listen, I came here to be encouraged and lifted up. Right now, I'm getting a little depressed, Pastor Aaron. You better get to the real good stuff. Listen, I'm getting there. Just hang with me. But James, we've been studying James on Wednesday nights. And some of my Wednesday night folks, they look at me and say, I don't like James. Can we just rip it out of the Bible? Because he gets on us. And the thing is, James 1 says, when troubles of any kind, it doesn't say major, it says major, minor, big, small, everything. When troubles of any kind come your way, when troubles of any kind come your way, that you're to endure. In 1 Peter 1, it takes it a step further and says, you must endure. You must endure trials. You must endure many trials. Even Jesus warned us that we're going to go through hard times. Jesus looked at us in John 15 and he told us that the world will hate you. How many of you feel like the world hates you sometimes? The reason why is because they don't hate you, they hate who's in you. They hate who you stand for. They hate the fact that you are serving something other than the world, that you're serving something other than yourself. These verses don't exactly give us the warm fuzzies, do they? You're going to go through struggles. You're going to have sickness. You're going to have hatred. People are going to despise you. People are going to turn their back on you. People are going to hate you for what you stand for. That does not make me go, ooh-wee, let me go to church. It doesn't give us a warm fuzzy. A lot of people, they sit there after they get saved and they hear those verses and they go, wait a minute, Pastor. Wait a minute. I thought that once I gave my life to Christ, everything was going to be like great. Like everything's coming up roses and I was going to have plenty of food. I was going to have plenty of drinks. I was going to have plenty of friends to stand by me and lift me up. I thought I was going to have everything okay. I thought everything was going to be butterflies, rainbows, and Skittles. But can I share something with you? Butterflies start off as a little caterpillar that has to go through a hard time where they have to go through a metamorphosis and they have to change their entire being in order to become that beautiful butterfly. Even a rainbow can't show up unless there is moisture that is falling from the air. And there's some kind of rain and some kind of something that would fall on us. Now, Skittles, I don't know why I brought that up. I just like Skittles. But we think it's supposed to be all butterflies, rainbows, and Skittles, and everything's supposed to go great. And people think that once I give my life to Christ, everything's going to be perfect. But my whole purpose today is to reveal the process that God is using to shape us into who we are meant to be. And that's why I titled today, Trust the Process. Trust the Process. We don't like the process sometimes. We don't like going through the stuff that we have to go through, but we need to trust the process. It's sort of like the whole purpose today is to reveal the process that God is using to shape us. Like a potter shaping a lump of clay or a blacksmith creating a blade to be used in battle. Every movement has meaning and every step shapes us and forms us into the vessel that we are supposed to be filled with, or that we are to be filled. Even the painful moments when God is cutting away or purifying us with the fire of trials and struggles is meant for a purpose. And some people are going, I don't like this teaching though. That's all right. I don't like it either. Because I don't want to go through struggles. I don't want to go through trials. But we need to remember how we respond and how we review to these times of struggle has an impact on how we are shaped in His hands. How we react to it, how we respond, how we view what we go through. What we have to understand as believers is that this process is necessary to become perfect as Christ desires us to be. And that's why what we struggle with is developing us. Everybody say developing. It's developing us. The areas of our life that we struggle in are areas that God is striving to transform us in. We did not start off at the pinnacle of perfection when we were born. Or at least some of us didn't. Okay? I know some of y'all may have been born the perfect little angel and your parents told you all the time, oh, ain't she a perfect little angel? She's so sweet. She's so awesome. She's so gorgeous. Listen, You were not born perfect. No matter what your mama said, no matter what your daddy said, no matter what your great-great-grandmommy said, you were not perfect when you were born. You did not come out absolutely perfect, being able to walk, talk, and breathe, and do everything. You had to learn stuff, right? We had to learn stuff as we went. And in order to learn those things, we had to have struggles. We had to have trials. We had to have problems. The first time you grabbed a hold of that end table and tried to pull yourself up, it didn't work probably. You pulled yourself up and then all of a sudden you fell right back down on your rear end. And what did we do? Ah! We started crying. Everything that we learn, everything that we do is a struggle when we were first born. We weren't that perfect little angel. When we were born, we couldn't walk. But now we're walking around and we're talking. When we were born, we couldn't talk. When we were born, we couldn't reason. Some of us still have a problem with that today. We couldn't figure things out. But growing up, even growing up, school. How many of you liked school when you were in school? Okay, about four of you, five of you. Okay, God bless you. I love you. But something's wrong with you. We're going to pray for you later. I was not a school fan. But school is meant to teach us. School, and when we, in school, let me get back to this. In school, school is meant to develop us and to help us grow in our cognitive abilities and challenge us by putting us through tests. That was the scariest word when I was in school. All right, everybody, put your books up. We got a test. And the entire class would go, aww. Because they didn't want to take that test. Because some of them knew they didn't study. Some of them knew they were going to fail. Some of them knew they were going to have problems with it. And the thing is, the school was meant to challenge us through those tests. There is no such thing. Let me tell you this. There is no such thing as a problem-free Christian life. There's no such thing as a problem-free life. There is no such thing as a struggle-free Christian life. Let me tell you something. If you never struggle, you never grow. If you never have something to strive for, you will never find something to achieve. We're meant to grow and struggle and strive as we go. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to fight all the time. But there are times where we are meant to strive. There will be moments that we stand on the mountaintop. I love mountaintop moments. I love when I pray with somebody and they get saved. I love when I pray for somebody and they're healed. I love when I can stand against the devil and I kick him in the teeth and knock his teeth out. I love when God uses me in great ways. I love when I can say that I have overcome this situation in my world and in my life, in my Christian walk. But there are also times where I get into the valley where I feel like I can't do anything right. Anybody ever been there? But let me tell you something. You never learn anything on the mountaintop. Okay, got awful quiet up in here. You don't learn on the mountaintop. Where you learn is when you're down in the valley, when you're struggling through the sludge and through the situations that you're having to strive through in order to reach that mountaintop. God gives us mountaintops to encourage us. He gives us valleys to teach us. He gives us valleys to develop us. And some of us are sitting there going, I wish I didn't have so many valleys in my life. Listen, I'm right there with you. But there's a purpose for them. There's a purpose for them. Somebody say there's a purpose. The lessons we learn are not learned on the mountaintop. They're learned when we're struggling through the valleys. Our first steps, our first words, that first job, that first relationship, all taught us valuable lessons. I can think back to my first relationship and how dumb I was. Anybody dumb when you first started dating or doing anything like that? I was so dumb, and I learned a lot of stuff. I've told you stories about things that I've said to Amy that I go, how dumb can I be? But the thing is, I learned through those situations. We had to struggle through the missteps in our lives, in our physical lives. We had to struggle through missteps and mistakes in order to arrive where we are today. But the thing is, as we face struggles, the first thing God is developing in us is the endurance to keep going. I know it's hard to keep going sometimes. I don't know about y'all, but there are times where I lay in the bed in the morning and I go, I don't want to get up. I don't want to go. And I'm not talking about physically tired. I'm talking about mentally tired. I'm talking about something trying to oppress me, something trying to keep me down. There's times where I don't want to act like a Christian. Because there's trials and struggles that I'm fighting through and situations that I'm dealing with. But the thing is, When we strive forward, we're building up endurance to run our race. I've got a friend of mine by the name of Chris, who was a pretty hefty guy when he was a little younger. I'm talking about pretty hefty. He had a lot of weight on him, and he decided one day, I'm going to go, and I'm going to do this couch to 5K. So he started training. And what he would do is he was one of my youth leaders, and he would come up to the church, and he would walk in the parking lot and run in the parking lot. But again, he was a pretty big guy, and there was no way he was going to be able to. You don't start off on the couch and then just get up and automatically run 5K. You've got to train for it, right? You got to start somewhere, and then you've got to work up to it. Chris would come up there, and in the program that he was on, it would have him run for 2 minutes, and then it would have him walk for 10. And then he would run for 2, and he would walk for 10. And he would do that day after day after day after day. And then after a few weeks, it was a little computer program he was using. He got on the program, and it would say, okay, you're going to run for 5 minutes and then walk for 5 minutes. And it would build up and build up and build up. What was he doing? He wasn't running from the couch to the 5K. He was building up his endurance as he was going. He was starting to grow in everything that he did. There were days where he couldn't run the full 2 minutes. There were days he couldn't run the 5 minutes. There were days where he could run a little bit extra, but he was building up as he went. Listen to me, as God is teaching us and as God is growing in us, he is taking us and putting us through these trials and saying, listen, you're going to go as far as you can with this, and you're going to strive with this, and you're going to build endurance so that when the next test comes, you can go a little bit further, and then you can go a little bit further, and then you can go a little bit further. Are you with me? I know this isn't a shout me down kind of message, but it's one of those that I think we need to hear. Amen. Because we need to know that endurance is key. We need to know that we need to endure. He had to build up. Chris had to build up to his goal that he wanted to be at. What he was doing was developing his ability to go further each time. The reason we go through multiple trials, it'd be so much easier if God would put us through one trial and we go, I got it. And we succeed, and then we just move on. It'd be so much easier. It'd be so much easier just to say, I've finished that test, God. But every now and then, God brings that test back up and says, hey, let's strengthen this area a little bit. You're starting to get a little weak in this. The reason we go through multiple trials and struggles in our lives is not because God wants to punish us, but so that we can learn to endure. Romans 5:3, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. We have to condition our response to God. Any of you ever go through something particularly hard and you look at God and say, God, why am I going through this again? Anybody ever been there? Why do I have to do this? Why am I dealing with this same pain? Why am I dealing with these same dummies at work that keep doing the same thing over and over that make my job so much harder? Why am I dealing with this situation over here with my kids, knowing that I've taught them right and done right and knowing that they know what's right? Why am I going through these same trials over and over and over? The problem is we need to condition our response and stop asking God, why am I having to go through this trial, and start looking at him and say, what are you trying to teach me through this trial? Okay, thank you, Amy. I'm glad you agree with me. We need to understand what we're learning, not just why we're going through it. You understand what I'm talking about? I know this is a little different today, but I want you to understand we're not in it for a short term thing. Our walk with Christ is not a sprint; it's a marathon that we have to go through time and time again. This is what Paul meant. See, what matters most. There's a quote that I read from a paper when I was studying. It said, "What matters most is not what happens to you, but how you will use what happens to you." You've got to use what is happening to you, not just let it happen. This is what Paul meant in Hebrews 12, where he said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance. Run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And everybody knows who Paul is, right? Paul started off as a guy by the name of Saul. And he had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. And he ended up writing most of the New Testament. Great man of God, did great things. But even Paul never even claimed to have gotten it all right. Paul looked at it and said, I ain't done yet. Some of you need to look at your own life and say, you know what? I may have gone through trials and tribulations, but I ain't done yet. God's not done. I used to love a song when I was a little boy. And I tried to convince my pastor to let me sing it when I was probably about 8 years old. My mom remembers it. I remember our music pastor was Lamar Jackson. My pastor at the time, I think, was Ron Pitts. He's a missionary now. And my mom took me and put me on stage and said, Brother Jacks, he needs to sing this song. And I sang this song. He's still working on me. Anybody remember that song? Making me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How lovely and patient he must be. He's still working on me. The thing is, we got to remember, he's still working on us. Just because you've been in this church for 50 years, just because you've taught Sunday school for 25 years, just because you've read through the Bible 15 times, doesn't mean that you have been perfected. That's what Paul was saying about himself in Philippians. Let me get up here so I can read the scripture. In Philippians, it says this. He didn't claim to have gotten it right. He's in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, he says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead." In other words, I'm not saying I'm perfect. Paul is looking at him saying, I don't have it all figured out. Listen, I'm standing up here as a pastor. I'm standing up here as Aaron Argo with a little word says reverend in front of my name. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not perfect. I ain't got it figured out. I'm making mistakes on a daily basis that God is correcting me on, and he is shaving things off of me, and he is shaping me into the vessel that he has chosen to use at this church at such a time as this. And you know what? He's doing the same thing with you. The problem is, I think that I'm done sometimes, and I say, God, you're not doing that right. And I stick my hand into the potter's wheel and touch that vessel that he is trying to make out of me, and I make it fold in on itself. And he goes, see, that's why I try those things. And he says, you got to give me time to fix you first. You got to give me time to test you out and to stretch those pieces out. You got to give me time to cut off the pieces that don't need to be cut off or that don't need to be there. You know, there's a process, and this is totally out of my notes, so y'all just hang with me. There's a process when you're making pottery. And they tell you that you've got to get all the air bubbles out of the pottery in order to make it where it's going to work right. And what you do, how do you do that? What you do is you take that clay and you start ripping it apart and throwing it down on the potter's wheel. And then you scoop it back up, put it back together, rip it apart, throw it back down over and over and over. And what it's doing is getting rid of all the air bubbles inside of that pot, of that clay. Why do they do that? Because if that air stays inside of that clay, when it goes into the kiln, when it gets ready to be fired, and when it goes through the trials, and when it goes through the trial of that fire, it heats that air inside of those pockets, and it will make the pot explode. You know what? You may feel like God is ripping your life apart at times, and that he's trying to tear you apart. But the thing is, what he's doing is he is testing you. He is taking the things out of you that don't need to be there, so that when you go through the real trial, so that when you go through the real firing process where he's getting ready to use you in a situation, it means that your life won't explode, but that you'll be able to be found as a willing vessel and as one that is worthy to be used by him. Does that make any sense to anybody? Good, because I went way off my notes on that one. We have to learn to endure, though. He says in verse 14, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God, Christ has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. Learning to endure in hardship and in trouble is part of the process that God has developed. To endure is to press on. To press on in spite of pain, in spite of mistakes, in spite of failures. To say, I know it's hard in my life, and I know I don't have it right yet, but I'm not giving up. Giving up is easy. Pressing on is hard. It'd be real easy just to say, you know what? I'm done. It's too hard. But God wants us to endure to the end. Everybody say endure. The incredible thing is that God knows you're going to fail at times, and he doesn't fault you for it. Let that sink in for a minute. God knows you ain't got it figured out. Turn to the person next to you and say, you ain't figured it out. How do I know that? In Psalm 37, 23 and 24 says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Not just what they do good, not just what they get right, not just what when they succeed in life, but in every detail of their life. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand." You notice he didn't say if they stumble. He didn't say, well, if they can't hack it. He said, when they stumble, though they stumble, they will never fail or never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. God is holding you in by the hand through every trial you're going through right now. Physical trial, emotional trials, financial trials. As we endure through those trials, though, character emerges in us. And I'm not talking about the kind of character where you can say talk like Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse. When I say character, see, the type of character that that it says, I'm coming out of this fire that's stronger. See, there's many people of character in this building. I could look and I'd say Rodney or Adam or Jared or Brother Brad or Steve or Winston or Brother Mac or anybody. And ladies, I'm not leaving you out on purpose. It's just I went with the guys because I am one. Just hang with me. But I could look at all of them and say, you know what? They are a great man of character. They're a great man of character. And I might be thinking of that they're a great example to others of how to live, or how to live out the values that God has put, that God has brought in them, how they show themselves to be faithful, how they show themselves to be willing to work and to sacrifice and to live for others and to do for others. That might be what I'm thinking about. Dictionary.com says this, the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. There's something about, it's something that is important to people today. And we need to have good character as Christians, right? We need to have good character. But Paul meant this word character in another way. That's not what he's talking about, having that kind of character. Paul is not thinking of the character someone inherits, but the character that they become or that they develop. He uses the Greek word dokime. I hope I'm saying that right. And that means proven character. Or one that has been tested. One that has been tested. It's like a precious metal that is fired in a white hot fire. As it is burned and as it is fired up and as that metal is molten down, what happens is that the impurities are burned away and they come to the top and they have something called slag that they peel off the top of it, and they take those impurities out, and the more fire that is applied, the more heat that is applied, and the more times that is turned over and over and over that way, the more pure that metal becomes and the more valuable it becomes. As we press forward and endure the trials and struggles and persecution or whatever the testing is that God has for us, it burns away the impurities of our character and lifts our spiritual value. Every time you're going through something tough, that just means God's making you more valuable to Him. He's developing you. It's sort of like Job said it best. When you talk about trials, Job is your man. Ain't none of us gone through nothing compared to Job. So if you want to sit there and complain about your situation in your life, you go up and open the book of Job and go back and read everything he went through, and I guarantee you, you don't hold a match to him. But he said this, he said it best. Speaking of God in Job 23:10, he says, "But he knows where I'm going. And when he tests me, when he tries me, when he fires me, when he gets me to the point to where I'm struggling, I will come out as pure as gold." That's the attitude we need to have when God is testing us. I'm going to come out better than before. I'm going to come out stronger. I'm going to come out more valuable. There's a quote from a seminary paper during my studies that says this: "Suffering does not rob Christians of their potential. Suffering plus perseverance gets them to their potential. Christian character is not inherited. It's not taught. It doesn't even come through Bible study or prayer. Now, some people will go, wait a minute now. Listen to me. Christian character comes through testing, walking the dark road of pain and hardship or persecution. What should not stay in our lives is burned away, and what is needed in our lives grows stronger. When you come through on the other side, you're going to come out more valuable. You're going to come out stronger as long as we endure and we develop our character. If you would, stand with me. I'm getting ready to close, believe it or not. From problems and trials, we develop the endurance and the perseverance to go forward. To press on in the face of struggle and hardship, that's what we're learning through our struggles. To keep going, even though we don't feel like it, even though it hurts us, even though we don't know how we're going to survive, God is still holding our hand through it. Through that endurance, we develop the character that is proven and tested and purified. We develop that character that God desires and that we need in our lives. That type of character says, I'm coming out of this fire stronger. I'm coming out of this fire better and more pure and more valuable than I went in. And this is my final point, and I'm finishing it quick. And that character, as we go through struggles and trials, and as we develop endurance, and as we build our character, that character then gives birth to our true hope in Christ. I absolutely love verse 5, where it says, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this will not lead to disappointment. In the King James Version, it says, and this hope will not lead us to shame. Your struggles are not something to be ashamed of. Your trials are not something to be despised. Because it says, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. If we put our hope and our trust and our belief in anything else in this world, I promise you we'll end up disappointed. The hope of Christ is the only thing that we will never be disappointed in. In every trial, God has proven Himself. His own character has been tested and proven because He has never failed us. That's the one thing God can't do, is He cannot fail. His words spoken over you when you were young cannot fail. His promises that He gave you about your children and your grandchildren and your families cannot fail. I've got news for you. Listen, you're sitting there going, well, God, I feel like I've been failed at times. Listen to me. You're still standing. You have survived 100% of your absolute worst days that you have ever experienced, and you're still standing strong. You're still in the house of God, and you're still seeking His face. Why? Because He is faithful to see you through the struggle. And He developed endurance in you. And that's why you're still going. I know you're tired. I know you're hurting. But that endurance is building that character. There's only one thing that God can't do, and that's fail. As we face trials, and if we trust the process that God has, we will be able to say like Job, but He knows where I'm going. Some of you need to say that over your life right now, because right now you feel like God doesn't know where you're at because you're in so much pain, either emotionally or physically, and you're sitting there going, God has forgotten me. He has forgotten the promise. God hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten who you are. He hasn't forgotten what he told you. Brother Dorman and Sheila online right now, he hasn't forgotten what he's told you. He hasn't forgotten what's going on. But you're going to be able to look and say, he knows where I am. And in the trials, in the fire, I will come out pure as gold. I'm not trying to single you out, Brother Brad, but I will come out bigger, badder, and better. I will come out bigger and badder and better. That's God's goal for us, to create a vessel worthy of his presence so that we could carry his presence to others. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, right now, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for this place. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would trust the process of the Holy Spirit. That when we question why we're going through something, remind us, Lord, of what you're trying to teach us through it. That you're teaching us to endure. That you're teaching us and you're developing character. And that, Lord, you're strengthening our hope in you, because you will never fail. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com, and make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.